Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast.
Happy to be back.
So happy to have you back. We were just catching up because we haven't seen each other in quite a few months.
So long. Truly so long.
So we're like, life has been lifing. So tell us what you've been up to, because you did get a new job. So you're actually working in a new division. You're still working in publishing, but you're working in a new division, new books, and you were telling all about the books, and I'm like so freaking excited about them.
Thank you. Well, I am now officially a marketing associate, which is very exciting. But the biggest change is I was working on a little bit of everything in my last job, but now I'm very focused in wellness nonfiction. So that's books by doctors, it's cookbooks, it's memoirs, it's what we call like prescriptive books. It's nothing I never would have expected it for myself, but I'm loving it. Like, it's a lot of fun. And yes, it's so funny. Like, the running joke with my colleagues is Julia will find a way to connect any book to a romance book, but it is 100% true. Like, I've run so many giveaways with book. Like, for example, I had a book called Person in Progress, and it's about the psychology of your 20s. And I was like, well, what is every romance book but a girl in her 20s who's lost and confused? So I partnered with another part of our division to do a joint giveaway with Person in Progress and Daddy Issues by Kate Goldbeck, which is the follow-up to You Again. So it's like the running joke in my team, but I am really liking working in nonfiction as a fiction reader in my heart of hearts.
Yeah. I started listening to Daddy Issues and it's delightful.
It's fun.
It's a fun one. So, but I have to tell you, as someone who just revisited nonfiction, I read a lot of nonfiction in my early 30s before I went back to fiction. And it's been such a joy to read about things outside of your comfort zone, learn about new topics, new eras. And a lot of times what I was surprised about is they're not dull. They're not boring books. They're actually really interesting. The writing is actually engaging and it keeps you going. And then you learn something new. You might be surprised. I was reading a book about groceries. It was recommended by another podcaster. And I actually had to turn it down because it was too depressing to hear about how my groceries were put together, but it was fascinating. And it read like fiction. As someone who's now, I was telling you, I was like, I'm about to start menopause. I'm in that hormonal 40s. Most of my friends were talking about hormones and stuff like that. You were like, oh God, they'll pause people up here.
We call them the menopause.
Yes. And I think this is like really exciting because you're providing literature because it's readily accessible for us to understand what is going on. And then understand like how we can actually make this stuff. So let's talk about a couple books you mentioned in the nonfiction that they're marketing, because I'm actually really excited to talk about those. And then we'll talk about some other book recommendations and other fiction. We'll go back to fiction, but yeah.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, because you mentioned books that read like fiction, is a book I worked on this summer called Anatomy of a Con Artist. And it's written by the host of Queen of the Con, which was like this podcast that went like semi-viral a couple years ago. But the gist is that this man was scammed out of over $100,000 from this like scam artist. So he wrote this book on basically, these are the 14 red flags to stop you from being scammed. But it reads like a fiction because you're reading his true life account of, this is when I started to be suspicious. And then this is when another aspect. So it truly is, we pitched it to so many fans of like crime fiction. As like, it's the true crime. It's true crime. It's true crime, and it's form.
So I'm bumping this one up for sure. And it does read like fiction. So that's even better.
Yeah. I feel like that one was a big example of that. And like a lot of the reviews that we were getting said we was picked as like a book club pick. It's like Next Book Club, I believe, is the name. And I don't think they typically pick a ton of nonfiction, but they picked this one because it read like fiction. And because like Jonathan Walton, who was our author, is like very engaging, very much willing to talk about his experience. And he really shares a lot about how the biggest problem with being scammed is that you get embarrassed about it. So you keep
it's a shame.
That shame stops you from speaking out and prevents like other like victims from being like harassed and hurt and everything. So he just generally recommends get the shame out of it. Just talk to people about it because you need to be honest. And his tagline was, some people play golf on the weekends. Jonathan Walton fights crime.
Yes.
Because he became like an amateur PI because he's been helping people get their con artists convicted.
Yes. It is a process to get someone convicted.
It is.
It is not a
least. Just got his lady just got convicted.
Yeah. It is a process and stuff. Like, that's like the bigger part is like, I actually prepare a case for the law enforcement to actually review it and to actually take action. And it's a long game. You cannot expect someone to get convicted in 5 minutes. It's like years.
Well, this man was able to write a book before this lady was convicted.
Yeah, it's years in the making. So, yes. Oh, I am so excited for this. I am going
to
bump
definitely
it up. I'm going to do request it from my library for the audio because I love audio space, like audio books and stuff. So,
lot of our audiobooks are read by the author too, which is really nice because you can like hear their voice.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it the best? They do have to audition to it, which is like an insider thing that I was like shocked by, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it is, they are auditioning for a part, even if they wrote the book.
You know. You got to talk about the
witchy. Authors get it.
Yeah. Now you got to talk about the witchy book.
Oh.
I am actually excited for this one. You don't, like, you gave me
a spoiler. First things first, I begged to be on this book. Basically, the editor, we have these things called office hours, and we all just sit around and we chat about what we're working on. And it's a great idea to ideate and meet the editors and really come up with ideas. And Catherine, the editor, who's wonderful, was like, yeah, so I just bought this book called Mundane Magic. And I was like, tell me about it. It sounds so interesting. And she was like, so it's this witch who has ADHD and has come up with this system called Mundane Magic, which helps her with executive functioning and helps her clean her house, keep nice routines, do all this stuff for her mental health. And she has background as a trauma counselor. She's a theater kid. Like, she has all these things. And I was like, me, I want that book now. So I like told my boss, like, I really think I could do something with this book. Like, I think it would be great. And I had like just started. And my boss was like, I've been very lucky. I've had a lot of awesome bosses who were like, oh, you really want to do this? If you have passion for it, do it. Because they all respond well to that. They really do.
Yeah. So that book is perfect for all the witchies.
Exactly. Like, I already in my head have 5 different romance witchy books that I want to pair it with.
Yeah.
And a big thing I'm really going for is I want to go after the witchies kids. But this book at the end of the day is just for anyone who feels stuck in their routine.
Yeah.
And who is like struggling with keeping, because it's hard to keep a space clean, especially if you're dealing with depression, anxiety, all these mental stuff.
Yeah.
You're just dealing with the world as it is right now. So like it really helps. And like, she has like these clutter crushing charms and stuff that you can listen to. It's so good.
So it's kind of like Kamari, but witchy. You're the Marie Kondo swirl, but make it witchy.
Yeah, make it witchy. And the thing is, you don't have to be a full believer to use this book.
Oh.
It's just about adding a little bit of magic into something that feels mundane, as the title says, so that you are more excited to do it. In my mind, I see it almost romanticize your life, like you're the main character in the movie.
Yeah.
The main character in the movie would have a clean place, would she not?
Yes.
She wouldn't have a dusty, gross place. Like, she would, your main character in your Hallmark movie would have a beautiful, clean New York City apartment. So I'm not going to let her down by like living in my filth, because you also feel better when your space is clean and you have these routines. So it's a book that I'm working on that like literally I live by it, and the cover is beautiful. It's so purple and cute.
I love this. Oh my gosh. I love the fact that it's like bringing a little magic to the resets and the stuff. So I don't know about you, but I love watching a good Sunday reset as someone who just cleans everything, meal preps, do all the different things. And it just brings a lot, just not having a reset and just, okay, I can start the week. I can actually do this. What I learned for me is because I have freeze. Like, I freeze functionally.
Yeah.
And so what I learned is I have to break it down to like bite-sized things, like 5 to 10 minutes.
She always says that. She says 2 minutes every day versus 20 minutes once a month is so much better.
It's so much better. It's not, I'm going to do the laundry and then I'm going to break it down to, okay, fold the laundry this 10 minutes. I'm going to put some music and then I'm going to load the dishwasher. You have to break it down to bite size as opposed to what the thing about KonMari was like, it was so big. It was like, everything brings joy. And I'm like, I'm frozen.
Yeah. Because the thing is, the big thing that I love about nonfiction, but that I also caution people, is that nonfiction is not a one-size-fits-all solution. Yeah. There are some like very popular books that might help a lot of people. The Let Them Theory, for example, that might help some people, but it's not going to help other people. So just in general, I always suggest that people take what's helpful from it, because you are learning from experts, from people who have honed their craft. But in general, you have to know that, because Marie Kondo and like all these incredible people definitely mean well, and their stuff probably works for a lot of people with quote unquote normal brains, but it doesn't work for people whose brains are a little different.
I think take what you like and leave the rest. I learned that really early on. It was like, and sometimes you got to listen to your intuition, and that's your one stop mind of just like clearing your mind. Okay, what does my body want? What do I think I want? Or what do I need to know? And it helps you make those decisions to be like, no, this is the life that I want to live, and owning your life. It gets easier when you get older, but I think it's like allowing yourself to take what you like and leave the rest and be like, you know what? That doesn't fit me. It's okay.
That's fine. And then I also just think we're in a growing time of misinformation and a lot of like dangerous stuff being spread. And I think it's good to revert to experts. So a lot of our books are written by doctors and are heavily researched, because the White House does not want to be sued by bad information. Like we have an entire legal team. We have researchers. We have everyone out the wazoo, and have also like books that are consistently revised when more data is updated. So I just think that it's a good thing to work on in general. Like, I feel like I'm making a difference, which feels good, because it's kind of in the world burning, all that good stuff. But you kind of have to find what you can. And for me, if it's getting someone a book, because to be frank, it's hard and expensive to see doctors to do almost anything. It's cheaper to buy a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right,
let's talk about your other passion, which is fiction books, and it's romance. You're my go-to rom-com fan. Talk to us about the latest romance you have read, or which ones you would recommend our listeners to pick up.
So I have kind of been in a bit of a reading slump, just a slight, nothing terrible, but it has been like hard. But the book that I read recently that I like absolutely adored was Along Came Amor by, oh my God, is that book good? It is just... it's so good. I love The Premise of Power. It's like one of my favorite series of all time. I will read anything that lady writes. Like, she's truly, and it's so big. And I didn't know I was getting it. So it was also just all these exciting factors. Because I guess I'm on some list from Avon of like, probably on a list of Latina bookstagrammers who have talked about the series before. So I got the book randomly. I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. Because it was thicker than usual. Because if you look, I'm looking at it on my shelf right now, and it's a thick book. And I was like, oh, what this is? And I open it. And I was like, oh, it's probably some fantasy that I won't read. But I open it, and it's a long book. And I literally went like, come on. I think I have a video, because I was like, I sent a video to my friend, and I was like, I don't know what this is. Let me check. So it is still nice when I get those little hints of book mail. Like, I just got Timothy Janofsky's Mannequin for Christmas book. That just came in the mail, and I wasn't expecting that either. So it was like,
oh my God.
I haven't read that yet, so I can't speak to it. But that one's been good. I've also consistently been in a historical romance phase just for the rest of my life. I love it so much. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's so escapist, and it's just a lot of fun. I will say they kind of merged together in my mind. Like, the ones that stick out are like Gabriella and His Grace, or like the ones like Don't Want You Like a Best Friend. Like, ones that, like, to be frank, ones who have a little bit of diversity are the ones that stick out in my mind. I think that's intentional. I think it, I don't know, there's something so magical about it, about like inclusivity in a historic time period. That's why I love Bridgerton so much, because it's like, it's colorful and pretty. And it also has diversity. And that is like why I love that show. And it has totally transformed my thoughts on, I would refuse to watch anything like Jane Austen, anything, until Bridgerton. And now I can go back and be like, okay, I see the charm in this. But it took Bridgerton for that to happen. And I still think, oh, you could add some sparkles, it would look nice. Like, yes. I'm just not one of those people who cares about historical accuracy. Oh, whatever.
You know, there was a person in the historical world, like,
there were people of different races and genders and sexuality.
Yeah. I don't know. And honestly, when we get into historical accuracy, let's talk about fantasy. Let's talk about murder. Do you have some accuracy for when people get murdered? Because I don't see you, like, looking at crime scenes.
No. Like, so I just can't stand with selective outrage because I'm like,
yeah.
You are so pressed about some diamonds on a little outfit. I would like to plug, there's this app I love called PageBound, which is like a new version of like Goodreads or...
I have to try it.
You've heard of it?
My own little app. I actually created my own little reading tracker.
Oh, you did? That's really cool.
Well, so let's start with that. I broke up with Goodreads this past year for a very few reasons. I found it that it was not only hasn't updated bunch of years, it also stopped letting me see what my friends were reading. And that's the whole point of why I do Goodreads, is so I can see what my friends are reading, so I don't have to bug them. So I want to know what Julia's reading. And I'm like, okay, what is she reading? What is going on? They don't let me do that. And I'm like, I don't want to see a bunch of random reviews that don't make any sense for me. So I broke up. I ended up creating my own system on Airtable, which is like, I exported my Goodreads data. I'll do a little guide for you all to what you do with the Goodreads data so you can actually make sense of it. So you know which books you run, what the specific things, so you can save it for posterity. But it is time, I just hate to say it, it's time to break up with Goodreads. Either go to PageBound, or create your own app, or go to StoryGraph, or do something else. But there's no need to use Goodreads because they have not updated since it started.
No, it is so bad. I only use it just because it's like convenient in some ways, and it's just there. Yeah, what I've read recently. And oh, this one is a good one. I can't believe I forgot to mention it. The Only Earl in the World by Amelie Howard. I think I think I told you last time I was here that Never Met a Duke Like You, my favorite book of all time, potentially. It's up in the top two. Like, I love the book so much. I've read it so many times. I love Vesper with all my soul because she's an ADHD girly in the historical era, and I love that for her. Graydon is like my type with dudes, like in a book. Like, he's like cute with his little glasses and like nerdy and fun. Like, literally, I adore that book with my whole soul. And when I found out that Forever canceled the last book in the series, I was pissed. And I found out from Amelie in person at SimulaCon in summer of 2024. And she told me, and I was like, no, like, I was devastated. And she was like, don't worry, I'm going to try to do something. I'm going to probably do something indie. Like, we'll see what happens. And I was like, okay, we'll see. Well, on September 16th, she released Only Earl in the World, which is the final book, which is the one that everyone's been waiting for, because it's the two characters who have literally been teasing each other and everyone's been joking about them getting together since book one. I will say, I totally missed that Jasper was redhead in the first three books. I totally did not catch that. It doesn't really matter, but it's super fun. It's great. It's technically a novella, but it reads like a full story to me because, like, you can, if you've read the other books in the series, you've been invested in these characters, so it just feels different. So in general, I like it a lot. Like, it's good. And also, she's like a romance writer, and there's like all this fun stuff. It's a fun read. So that's this recently read that was like totally 5 stars. I love this. And I'm reading Problematic Summer Romance right now, and I'm trying to get into it. I'm like a little iffy on it, but I'm about halfway through and it's starting to pick up steam, so I'm going to keep reading.
Yeah. I really enjoy Problematic Summer. I read the first book in the series when I was starting the hurricane. Remember the hurricane that happened last year? I think I showed you that. It was like terrible. I lost power. And I like literally binged like three.
Wait, it's the second one in a series? I didn't know it was in a series.
Yeah, series of the first book. The brother and the sister-in-law, the people who are getting married, they're the first book.
They are?
It's not in love, yeah.
They are not in love? So the tall girl. That makes so much sense. Oh my God. Do you know how like someone says one thing and you're like, oh my God. It all starts making sense because they keep on talking about those two like they've been together already.
Yes. The wedding. Yeah. So that's the book. I read 3 Allie Hazel Wood that day in a day. I read The Check and Mate, which was delightful if you haven't read it. Then Not in Love. And then I read Deep End. It was a great time. The Problematic Summer, I ended up buying the book because I didn't get access to an early copy. And I was like, no, I really need to read this. And it was such a delight to just read it physically, because I don't read physically. And
I know, that's the thing. I'm reading Promax Summer physically as well, because I bought it
from
work. And I was like, let me try it.
Yes, but it was delightful. It was like one of the few physical books that I read and I enjoyed. So I can't wait to hear from you. I just want to go to Sicily just to hang out.
No, and the reason I'm really enjoying PageBound is you can basically, you join a forum for every book you're on.
Yeah.
And you can say, I'm 41% through the book and these are my thoughts. And people can basically search comments by what percentage you are in the book.
Yeah.
So like, all right, you can all,
I am downloading PageBound, and hopefully
you have to, like, you are gonna love it. And there's like stickers and there's stuff you can do. Yeah. So like, I was like, what are people's thoughts? And then they also have a spoiler thing that you can put. So if you have something that's a spoiler, you can keep it spoiler free. It's really great. I'm excited to see how they grow. It's created by two women who left the tech industry. We're like, let's start our own app because we're readers and we love it.
I love this. Oh my
gosh. Great?
That's amazing. Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us where you can find me online. Check
Lit. Okay. So you can find me online everywhere at Chick Lit is the shit. That is chick as in chicken. Lit as in literature. Is as in is. The. And shit as in shit.
Yes. It's easy. It's easy to follow.
It's easy. And my book club is Clit's Book Club, which is Chick Lit is the shit. That's the acronym. And if it's nothing else, if you think it's anything else, get your mind out of the gutter.
All right, Julia, thank you as always for coming back to the show. We'll be back probably in a few months to talk about Bridgerton because
can I be your Bridgerton correspondent?
Yes, you are. You're the Bridgerton correspondent. So we'll be back to talk about Bridgerton.
Come back with a bunch of Cinderella recommendations, Cinderella retellings.
Awesome. So be in the lookout for Julia's future episode of Bridgerton. We'll probably do a recap show about what we thought about Bridgerton because I'm watching TV. So we're going to do a recap and we'll do a Cinderella recommendations. Thank you, Julia, for being in the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. Love it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating, review, and subscribe. If you would like to see more book lists, please visit whatyournextblog.com to join our community on Substack. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.